Hi, Heather. How are you today?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate
Of
it.
course.
Okay. How was New York?
It was great. We had a good.
Yeah, where were you at? Oh, I'm sorry. What were you doing?
I was working on mixing another film that I've been working on and doing a little recording as well. So,
Oh, what film is that you were working on?
Craig Zobel, who directed Compliance's new film, Z for Zachariah, is
Oh,
yeah.
wow.
So. We're at it again. That's our next.
That's great. Very cool. So I just where are you from? Just wanted to kind of do a couple of background questions.
I was it depends on how far back you. I was born in New Jersey and grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. I guess you could say that's where I'm from.
Okay.
Suburbs of Cleveland, Ohio, and then went to college at University of Georgia in Athens, Georgia, and
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
where I spent most of my adult life, and then I've spent a little time in New York and about 3 or so years out in Los Angeles.
So where do you call home then?
I live in Los Angeles now.
Oh no, but if you had to say where you're from, what is that? What
Oh
would you say
gosh.
like you identify with the most? Which one of those
I
places?
mean, I come from Athens, Georgia, but I was raised in Cleveland, Ohio. How's that?
Well, Athens is such a great city. I absolutely love Athens
Yeah,
too.
Athens, Georgia is it's where I sort of discovered my musical identity, I guess you could say, playing in a bunch of bands from there. It's sort of
Yeah, and then so then when did you just did you were you playing younger than that before college, or did you start playing later in life?
I studied piano and cello as a kid and synthesizer also. I took synthesizer lessons when I was in 5th grade. I was really into it.
Okay.
Yeah, so my mom is a musical person. She's an organist and she sings and piano player as well. And so I've taken lessons since I was a little tiny squirt, probably since I was about 4, and then and studied classically all through, high school and went on to study cello and composition in college at UGA.
Oh
Yeah.
wow, that's great. And then when did you sort of come into that with film as far as starting doing compositions for film?
Well, it's interesting. I've always wanted to do it. I worked at a video store ever since I got to Georgia, pretty much. And so that was sort of my, fake film school. I studied composition in college and then studied everything else at that video store, and had always been connected to the idea of wanting to do that. It's one of those things that, I mainly was playing in bands when I got to college and just never really knew how that transition could happen, but just always wanted it. And then flash forward a couple years after I left Athens, like say about 2008, I'd been playing in a bunch of bands and had my own band called The Instruments, and a friend of mine made a film called Examined Life, directed by Astra Taylor. She's a really great documentarian and writer, and she threw one of the tunes from one of my band The Instruments, on the opening credits of the film, and it worked really well. And she asked if my band would be able to work on the score. So that was sort of my first taste of it. I was like, this is it. This is what I've been wanting to do the whole time. So it was sort of my first chance to see my music married to picture. And so that was sort of my first attempt, but that was more like my band's music was in the film, and it was just a taste of it. And then Craig Zobel, who made the film Compliance, that was sort of my first narrative feature length.
How did he find you then?
We've been friends for a long time. He has a lot of connections to Athens, Georgia. He went to high school with one of the original drummers for of Montreal, and I've played on all of those records.
Right.
So, we were at a show in New York. He lives in New York, and when I was living in New York, we just talked about a bunch of similar, like, filmmaker. I'm a fan of his first film, The Great World of Sound, and we just sort of you know, talked about films we loved, and it sort of started the conversation of like, let's try this someday. And he came and saw a band, my band, The Instruments, play in New York, and took all the CDs home and realized like how much it lends itself toward that band has a lot of, it's a lot of open space, and it seems like it would really lend itself towards moving picture. And so that sort of started the conversation, I guess. So we've known each other for a long time, and then that sort of spurred it. And we were originally going to work on another film, and then compliance came up, and he's like, "Hey, stop the train. Let's get on." So that's where compliance sort of kicked off.
And did he have something specific in mind when he came to you for that score? Because it's such a specific sound.
It's funny. We spoke a lot. I read the script, and it was right around the new year. I had recently moved. I had this other career playing with Gnarls Barkley and finished up a tour with Lil Wayne. And I finished that tour, and I was just sort of working back at the video store again, and which was hilarious. I was just working on this film, you know, and I just started working on music on my own from the script. And he was visiting family down in Georgia, and I just had a bunch of sketches for him that I had developed from not seeing any picture, but just from reading the script. And he, you know, it's like, this one's great. I don't know about this one. Here, look at this clip of this film and see how the music works. I don't want it to sound like this, but I want it to feel like this, or, you know, that sort of thing. And then I just sort of riffed off of the things that he liked the best. And this was, you know, like I said, long before picture, like I actually went up when they were shooting in New York, and it was so funny because like the DP and producers on the project were all like, "Oh, I love the music that you're doing for the film." And so he had been sharing the music with the film, like everyone actively involved in the production.
So they were playing it on set.
Yeah,
the music.
He had shared it with people that were working. I mean, I don't know if they were like playing it in the place, but like he shared the music with the other aspects of the. And so I feel like it just, I think that's pretty unusual, you know. And it was like my first run, but he just it really glued everything together. And then a lot of the original edit was actually cut to the music rather than the other way around, where you're dealing. I was my own temp score, I guess, you know.
Wow. That is really, I mean, I don't know that much about how it works exactly, but I've never heard it going that direction.
Yeah.
That was being cut that way.
Yeah.
So
it was a pretty special first run, I think, for all of us.
So then you have a lot of really interesting stuff coming out, or at least films that I'm really interested in. One that really caught my attention was Vessel. And how did you, and I guess first, how would you describe that film to people?
You know, it's kind of like it's a tricky one. It's the one that I'm just really passionate about being a part of. It kind of reads a little bit like an action film. Like, it's a call to action, but it's also an action film. Like, these super empowered women are like running around the world, like kind of against all odds, like trying to provide women with health services that just are not available. And it's a sort of fast, you know, it's got a really fast sort of almost action pace to it, which you don't usually think about in like a documentary film piece sort of thing. So I think when we composed, it was T. Griffin and I both composed the music for that project. And we just really wanted to have that action element to it, you know, like just sort of, it's got sort of like almost like a jaunt, you know, a seafaring jaunt to it, which I think is sort of a, unsuspecting. It's very cello driven. I think that was why Todd really wanted me on board for the project, and I think it came together really, really well. I'm really proud of that one for sure.
No, it's one of those films when I've been reading, sort of, it was similar in the way that I've heard you describing, where people are almost burying the lead in a way where it's a taboo subject.
Right.
And I guess people are sort of, especially with what's going on in our country right now,
for sure.
With women's reproductive rights being really threatened right now, and especially with these women that are standing up for that, I think an important film from what I haven't seen it, but the subject matter certainly is. And that just, it's almost like, it felt like the word abortion is almost being ignored, or like not wanting to be put right up front as a way of not showing that part of it, which is, I don't know. It's something that I hope that people see. And if it's going the direction from what I've read about these women, that hopefully it can help people see, you know, that this is something people do need.
Yeah. So. It was kind of amazing that it could open at South by Southwest in Texas. The biggest, like, honestly, it's like third world level. Like, people aren't able to, you know, even just take care of basic, like, female reproductive, you know, like, make sure that they're working healthily. Like, those sort of, as they're getting rid of the various clinics, like, so many women go to those places, not just for the taboo subject, but for their basic health care. And it's really hard to see people have to, you know, there are a lot of women that, you know, can't drive 150 miles away to go to the nearest center, you know, where there's so few. But so I feel like it really spoke volumes that it could premiere at South by Southwest, and so many people really rallied behind the film. It sort of gives an opportunity for a conversation, which I think is great, you know, against it. You know, I think it's a conversation worth having, I think.
And I'm just really sad that it's a conversation that we have to have. it's one of those things that it seems like such a non-issue in my mind,
right,
that I can't wrap my head around the fact that it is an issue for so many people. And for over half the world, this is an issue that needs to be addressed. And it just, I don't get it. So, but, you know, thank you for your involvement.
But I felt really lucky to be a part of it. I think it's it's, you know, getting attention. It, you know, just had the really big write-up in the New York Times, and we'll just see what happens next. But I'm really proud of the filmmakers for that one, for sure.
Are they expecting it to have a theatrical release for the film?
I'm not certain. It's still doing the festival circuit presently. I'm not certain what the plans are. You know, sometimes that information comes down the pipe a little bit slower. So
of course. And there was another one that you're doing. It was False.
Yep.
And the reason that one caught my attention is the director. He did a short film called Cub.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
And, yeah, I absolutely adored that short. And it was that. And he did another one. The name's escaping me offhand, but it's the woman with the headphones.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Where she's taking the French. And his stuff is really interesting. Is this his first feature that he's done?
It's his first feature. And it's funny, I got involved with the feature because I went to a screening that took place in Echo Park out here, just a small short screening. You know, there were a bunch of different local filmmakers showing their stuff at a tiny little place. And the Cub was one of the ones that was screened. And afterwards I was like, I don't know what you're up to next, but I want to be a part of it. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, this was well over a year before Faults even was mentioned, you know, like, and he's like, oh, well, he's like, I'm working on this feature, but I don't foresee any music in it at all. And then about 2 months or a month, it was really like right before South by Southwest, you know, like I got an email from him. I gave him my card and I got an email. He's like, I don't know if you remember me, but I made that short. And I said I was making a feature and I didn't see music in it, but do you want to put music in it? And so that was how so the Cub was what brought us together as a.
And so then what is the music that he wanted you to, what was the approach for that though, from going to, from nothing to needing or wanting a score? What did he want from you?
Well, I feel like it was a really delicate balance because because he really had the vision that it didn't need any score from the top, that it was a matter of finding that balance. And a lot of the music is very much functions as underscore, like right under the surface, like sort of how room tone behaves.
Sort of
like color the space with sound, if that makes any sense. So it's just sort of like,
So
I feel like we did a pretty good job in compliance too, doing that, where you really can just sort of like make the walls feel like they're coming in on you a little bit just by like a textural addition.
That was one of the first things I noticed about compliance after when I rewatched it for the second time, that stood out was how the music, the first viewing on it, was almost invisible.
Yeah.
And the instrumentation in it, though, it's not exactly simple per se, because there's a lot going on in it, but it absolutely serviced the film so perfectly that it wasn't, I never felt like I was being driven and told what to do by the music. It wasn't giving me the emotional cues. It was backing up what was on screen.
Right, yeah. Well, cool.
And
yeah.
Sometimes. What's that?
I said, cool. That's what we were hoping for. So.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's a great score, because there's at least for me, it's sometimes when a film, there's a score, it can be bombastic and push you along, and sometimes you go with it. And anytime there's a John Williams score, I'm willing to go along that ride.
Right.
But then sometimes that can be, okay, I see at this moment you're trying to pull my heartstrings, but I'm not connecting to
it.
And yeah, so I can tell what they were trying to get across through the music. But
Yeah,
that was such a wonderful score.
Thanks. Yeah. And it's really satisfying when you can like figure out a way to do the tonal, like upfront score stuff, but then you can also do those transparent moments and it still is serving the purpose and not bumping the viewer out of the film, which is why you're there. You're there to watch a film. Like anything that'll bump you out usually is the opposite of what you're going for. So
of course,
find that balance. It's great.
Well then, which kind of sort of, I don't know if this does or not, cause I haven't had the chance to see it yet, but Honeymoon is a sci-fi horror film, I guess. And with that, I assume, because there are scares in the film, that it would have a lot of that is driven by music traditionally. So I'm not sure if that was something they were having to do for that film.
Well, it's great. Honeymoon was great because I kind of got to cover a lot of ground with that film. You know, it sort of starts off in your straightforward romantic honeymoon getaway. So I got to actually write really pretty music along with your horror, sci-fi, avant-garde chops. And I, you know, like even though I love making tonal music, when I can make sort of the abstract avant-garde stuff, I'm in a very happy place. And it's great with horror. I've always known it to be true, but like you can really stretch out in horror composition. Like you're allowed to do the avant-garde. It's the one place in the world of filmmaking, I feel like, where that's like, it's acceptable. Like you can make it, you can pretend you're, you know, like put on your Stockhausen composing cap. You can like get weird with it. And it's really the happiest place to be. So yes, I mean, to sort of develop tension in a really atonal way and to also come from a very tonal, like pretty music place and to figure out how to really degenerate that and not feel like you're in three different movies is a awesome thing. You know, it's great.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there was, in compliance, there was something you did with the percussion in that was so minimalist and it didn't resolve itself in a way. I don't know if that's the right way of describing it, but it was felt like it was building to something and then would drop out and left you feeling very uncomfortable. And I think that's the nature of that particular film at work.
Yeah.
But you were talking about sort of the more avant-garde composers. Are there ones that really struck out to you that inspired you?
Yeah, I mean, I love like a lot of the electronic guys. I'm also a huge like George Crumb fan. And Toru Takemitsu has this really, he did a lot of Kurosawa's scores, but then he's also a really great concert music composer. And he was so great because he could really stretch out and make these beautiful landscapes of like using like abstract flute tones and like extended techniques, but still he could sort of go out in like a sort of like cerebral, you know, like extended technique sort of way. But then also he would play like a jazz tune when necessary for like he would do like sort of, he wasn't afraid, or maybe he just needed a paycheck, but he was willing to do like almost hokey jazz lounge music if that's what the film required. Like it's, sure. And that's, you know, he's one of those composers that I just love for being able to really unabashedly cover that whole range. You know, like, I don't know if that was like a dark secret while he was doing it, that he was doing these, but it seems like he was, you can find all of his scores, you know, you can find all of his film scores, and some of them are really goofy, but I love that about him. You know, like, it goes down that, like, sort of a comedia sort of, which, I mean, I love, you know, so much, but, you know, like, you're sort of, when you can go into that sort of, like, jazzy, swingy sort of place, it's a, and unabashedly so, and then also break out, you know, make the high art, if you want to, I put quotes around that, there's no way that you would know that, but you know, like, that you can do both sides, and it's all composing, you know, it's
well, yeah, I mean, I guess that you're almost a journeyman in a way, if a composer, because you're servicing something else, it's not necessarily a direct expression, right, of your feeling of your art, so yeah, that would make perfect, yeah, sense that it's in service of a greater thing.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it gets a little, you know, you'll hear people say it and it sounds maybe a little hokey, but it is, it's true. It's like you are 100% servicing the greater good of the film, whatever that is. Like, it's the director's vision, and you are, yes, you know, I've heard other composers say it, but it's true. It's like you are a craftsperson. You are trying, your goal is to, like, and ideally you can do that in a very artful way. You know, like there's room to really have all the pieces come together, and it's not just, well, I put that there and it worked, so we're done, you know, but yeah, you can do that artfully and really sort of elevate or refine, you know, like help with the vision of the project. It's the best.
Sure.
Feeling. I love it.
And then you have another one that it just occurred to me. I remembered it was, the Hal Ashby documentary.
Oh,
is that,
yeah.
Is that something has that already begun, or is that something that was, I saw that it was crowdfunding at one point.
It's in the process. I need to check in with Amy and see how things are going these days, but they've interviewed Jane Fonda. They've interviewed John Boy. You know, they've interviewed, lots of greats already.
Sure.
Haskell Wexler, they've done a lot of big ones, you know, like they're on the way, well, but it's also a documentary. You just don't, you know, like you could rush a documentary, but you know, you have to be thorough, and they love Hal's work so much. They want to, you know, make sure it's the best representation of his body of work as possible. So it's a,
of course,
it's a, well, document, you know, like a Vessel took a long time to make, you know, like this, and I'm not really even, I don't want to say how many years, but it was definitely years and years. So hopefully it won't be that long for Hal. I think that they really are. They've got the funding and they've got a lot of support, and people love Hal's work.
Of course.
So it feels,
yeah,
like it's definitely zipping along.
I mean,
exciting.
Harold and Maude is one of those movies that sort of changed the way I saw film when I was young.
Oh, yeah.
I think I saw that when I was about 13 or so.
Uh-huh.
And it just, I had no idea movies could be like that.
Yeah.
And it was, and there's another great score in that film.
Uh-huh.
It's really a strange, unusual score for that,
yeah,
one, but it fits the film. And let me see here. There's one more thing. Oh, and so do you have a preference now to moving forward to doing film work, or do you enjoy doing the, like with the instruments, or when you were working, doing studio work with Gnarls Barkley, that kind of thing? Where's your heart at?
I mean, film music is what I'm trying to do the most of, but I will never, I feel like I've learned a lot from like turning down a couple of really great opportunities that I'm not going to close the door on anything. You know, like I would totally go on tour. I mean, I just went on tour with one of my old bands for like 2 weeks. I have a band called Circulatory System that has a new record that's out, and they, mm-hmm. we opened up for old friends of ours, the band Neutral Milk Hotel. So we went on the road with them for, you know, I did that up and I had final delivery on the Z for Zachariah score, and I was mixing on the road on the way up to New York. So if I can do both, I will do both. I feel like it's really satisfying to be able to like do all of it. But you know, my goal really, I do film music is where my heart is right this second.
Sure. And do you have that like a sort of moment where you can look back at just the last couple of years and see where your life is now from the person working in the video store to, I mean, just, I guess it's with the people you sort of, were performing with, but you know, the new playing with Neutral Milk Hotel, that's huge, obviously, but you knew these guys for a long time. So that doesn't even really feel like that to you. Or is it that transition that's been slow that makes it, that there was sort of an organic way that this all came together. So there's not even that sort of surreal experience for you.
I mean, it's so hard to say. I mean, it's funny right now. It's like, I'm breaking even and doing what I like to do. And I get to still like bring my buddies on board to like play on I figured out a way to sort of incorporating like tour travel to like go and get my buddy that plays French horn on this film and then catch him on the next one, you know? And, mm-hmm. you know, like I feel like I've been able, I can see it. It's like, I'm far enough away from the initial point where it's like, I don't know, I like film music and I want to do that, you know, like mm-hmm. I've made it on the other side of that. And my dad was really funny. He's like, you're actually doing what you wanted to do. Like, that's so cool. You know, like, and it's true, you know, like it's super satisfying. Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah.
But, I guess there was no way that I would have 100% known that by working at that video store, watching every single dang, you know, said Tarkovsky, whatever, you know, like being super nerdy about every Criterion Collection thing. And like, just being that person, you know, like I never would have said like, as I'm doing like this is my film school, but it kind of, you know, like it kind of is. And like and it sounds so cheesy, but if you do all the things that you like, hopefully those pieces can come together in some sort of way. And
well, I mean, I guess it's somewhat cliche, but it's absolutely true that most people learn how to do their job on the job. You don't learn how to do it in school for the most part. Mm-hmm. There's certain, like your training and that you had, the classical training and with, you know, learning how to play your instrument, mm-hmm. that is a part of it. But then the actual sitting down and doing your job is the playing in bands and watching films and those things. That's also a really important part of an education.
Right. So. And I did, you know, I moved to Los Angeles, from Athens, after those tours ended, and I started when we were about ready to mix Compliance, and I just sort of said like, I want to do this film music stuff. Like I need to get out here and I need to just become a sponge for it. Like come out here. And I joined, like, there's this Society of Composers and Lyricists. And I joined that and went to every single seminar I could go to. And like, they have on their website, all these different, like you can play back from like 1998, like every composer they've ever had on there discussing like their process. And,
oh,
and
wow.
So like you can get super nerdy, you know, like I knew I was lacking in some of the I mean, I'm an electronic music composer. So like I get how to use Pro Tools and I know how to record things. It's not a question of that, but just to glean other people's wisdom in a sort of, you know, like I was just doing it on my own the same way I did when I was watching those movies, but I just knew the more of that I could take in, the smoother it would be when I was getting work. And I just always wrote all the time also, you know, like I tried to write something every day, which has been really helpful now when I have, you know, the next three films lined up and I want to give them stuff that look at all the stuff that I could do, you know, like on those days where it may have seemed really ridiculous when I had no jobs lined up and I was just doing little like cello one-off studio gigs, but I would, you know, be like, okay, now I'm going to write spooky music or whatever. You know, I would write some ridiculous goblin style, you know, Suspiria over the top explosion of a thing, and it would be hilarious. It would make me super happy. And it's great to have that now too, because now if somebody wants that, whoever that may be, like
I don't know who that person would be specifically that would be able to pay you for it, but as somebody that owns the Day of the Dead soundtrack on vinyl, yeah, I might be the guy looking for a goblin.
Oh my god! I mean, seriously, like that. Somebody had asked me that the other day, like, what would you want to work on next? And like, I guess that would be amazing. Where's that gig? Where's my goblin-esque? I'm waiting. I'm over here. No, but yeah, so there's that, I guess. But I don't know.
Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time. It's already been a half hour, but I just wanted to say thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. It was nice chatting with you. Hopefully I didn't sound like a total freak.
No, oh my god, no, you were perfect. You were great. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Okay, cool. Have a good one.
All right, bye-bye. Have a good day.
Bye.